The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger, as always, joined by my man, Dylan, and we are back for a very special episode, Dylan.
Man, what an episode this will be. I can't wait for it. It's centered around a huge show that happened this past weekend. All I can say is, you know, Gong Hei Fat Choi right now.
Well,
that's Chinese.
And what does it mean?
It's like a good, you know, good thing, good day, pretty
okay.
much.
Yeah. We gather together to talk about the Dragon Gate Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival 2019. And we already did a preview on that, but when we did our preview, the entire card wasn't out yet. So we're going to talk about some of the undercard matches that we haven't previewed. But before we go to the Dragon Gate show, I want to get some news and notes in. First of all, from Michinoku Pro Wrestling. As most people have heard by now, Fujita Junior Hayato is still battling cancer, and there is a foundation for that, just like for the Takaya Mania stuff, that tries to cover expenses for Hayato. And Michinoku Pro and the Hayato 8 Foundation, they will be running a Hayato 8 show on November 27 in Shinjuku Face in Tokyo. And most of the tickets will be between, or all of the tickets will be between 6,000 and 5,000 yen. And that is lower than the most expensive seats for most other shows in that venue. I looked that up, for example, for the Catch the Wave final show. Most tickets were like 7,000 yen, the expensive ones. But the thing about this show is that all the revenue will go to Fujita Junior Hayato. And so we are hoping that he will make some progress in his treatment against cancer. He said he still wants to return to the ring, and well, I don't know if that's necessarily the smartest idea, but it's certain that he really wants to do it, and his heart is full of determination to do that. And so, hoping for the best for Hayato.
Yeah, like, he looked really bad from what we can see, but to me, just him coming out there showed a lot of hard determination on his part to me. So I was very proud of him for that. You know, whatever you could say about him, like, he's doing his best and fighting this the best he can through such a terrible thing. I hate to see it for him going through all this stuff, especially what happened with his mentor, Kid Yamamoto. It's just a really sad thing, and I hope whatever can happen with this show, hopefully can help him. And whatever happens with him, I hope his spirit can move forward, and I hope he does get to live that dream one of these days. It can be healthy enough to do that.
Yeah, exactly. To a completely different topic, something that I noted yesterday as I was browsing Twitter, I saw that Sari is producing her own show on December 3 in Shinjuku Face. And she explained this a little bit, why she wants to do this. And she said, 8 years since I became a professional wrestler, still on the way to a dream, I entered the wrestling world at the age of 14. I learned everything in professional wrestling, and I decided to hold this show in order to make a further step up by performing the professional wrestling that I envision now. And Dylan, some people took this as making a step forward, making a step into the different direction. Some people took this as Sari potentially saying goodbye to Yoshi Wrestling.
Yeah. So especially after a couple of weeks ago, the picture of her meeting with Triple H from WWE came out on Twitter and got everyone up into a tizzy, some people would say. You know, like I said, it feels like it's inevitable. And she's a great talent. You know, mm-hmm. I think every company should want her. She's a really amazing worker. You know, if this is her vision, I'd like to see what she means by that in terms of the wrestling she envisions on the show. I'm sure it'll be really good if it's like the kind we've seen her wrestle as this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you'll get that at least. But yeah, it certainly feels like her days are numbered in the country, and they've had their eyes on her for even 2 years ago. They tried to get her. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but she stayed in Japan then, and you know. One of these things is, like, what more could she really do in Japan, to be honest with you?
You know that's kind of... The thing is, the wording here is a little different than it is for other Japanese wrestlers saying goodbye to their companies and leaving for the U.S. Yeah. Usually the wording is like, I want to go to a worldwide stage or something like that. And this wording is not... cannot be found here in Sari's posting. I thought about it a little bit the other day, and I thought about that for a long time. She really wasn't out there in the Yoshi scene wrestling in other groups. Yeah. Like, for example, she was sent to Seed Ring for this brief excursion, you might want to call it. Came back to Diana, and now only this year she really has gotten out of Diana to perform in other groups and in Sendai Golds mostly,
yeah.
And to make a bigger name for herself. And the thing is that what I thought about is maybe she just told them, hey, I want to go more out, I want to do different stuff, and if you support me, that's great. If you don't, I got a big name. I could also leave.
Yeah. Like I said, Diana's a really small company, to be honest. You know, so it's hard to tell on that end. Maybe she does have some sort of plan to go freelancer. I know this was a while ago now, multiple years ago at this point, but there was something somewhat similar with Mio Shirai, Io's sister, and it ended up with her signing like a four-way contract for a country.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, my gut thinks that she's probably headed to America.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Like I said, it's just... I mean, I can't blame her at all. I'm not one of these guys that gets that upset over people leaving and stuff like that. Especially the Joshi scene. The likelihood of her being successful is not huge. Like I said, it has nothing to do with her, really. It's just the way things are in WWE when it comes to Japanese wrestlers in general, but especially Japanese women's wrestlers. I feel like there's definitely a ceiling for her entertainment-wise and maybe match-wise, but you never know what could happen in life and in wrestling, you know, and what is the best-case scenario for her in Joshi? Other than having a lot of great matches that people like me love, and you know, a lot of people online and a lot of people in the Joshi scene love, but there's a definite ceiling there, you know, when it comes to popularity and just money, if you think about it.
Yep.
I just don't know her motivations to say for sure, but in whatever she chooses, I support her because I think she's a great wrestler, one of my favorites in Joshi, so... like whatever she does, I'm not going to be disappointed. I want to support her like whatever way she can. Just like you know, I support Kairi Sane in WWE and Asuka in WWE. Like I think they're amazingly talented workers. Unfortunately, they don't get to do anything right now. You know, but still, hopefully, Sari can do something that fulfills her heart more than anything. But we'll have to see. Maybe, you know, maybe you're right. You never know. Like I said, things can also change, like, in that long of a time period, too. What she wants now may change in between that time. So you never can say it. And things actually do happen that way in wrestling a lot, where things don't exactly happen how everyone thinks they do at certain times. And, you know, All I can say is that I really support her no matter what, and I hope the show's a success, and she gets as much recognition as she possibly can for her great wrestling that she has.
Yeah. Can't really add anything to this. So that was this topic. And also, I want to get into the Pro Wrestling NOAH Junior League a little bit, because the Junior League is ending with a show on July 27 from the Cult's Kawasaki venue. So from Kawasaki, not from Tokyo. They are running a show in Tokyo the week thereafter. And the card for this final show for the Junior League has a couple of undercard 6-man and 8-man matches. The most notable match probably is Kenno, Masaki Tamiya, Atsushi Kotoge, and Yoshiki Inamura against Takashi Sugiura, Kazuma Sakamoto, Hajime Ohara, and Kinya Okada, because the Sugiura-gun has now adopted the young Kinya Okada kid, and I really like what they are doing with these stables in Pro Wrestling NOAH. It's not all mixed up. They have clear set stables, clear set tag teams, clear set groups here now. So they are getting the young boy in there, and he's going to battle the other young boy in Yoshiki Nomura, and that should be pretty interesting.
Okada's good, too, by the way. Inamura gets more spotlight, but Okada is a very talented young wrestler, too. And I love that group, actually, in general, of Sugiura Gun. I think that's a really good set of wrestlers. And Kongo, too. I think the wrestling there is good. I don't know how this is going to go, but hopefully that they can build Kongo a little bit more heading into the N1 victory for them. So that should be a great match. There's like all 8 of those guys are talented, in my opinion. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, talking about the N1 victory show or the N1 victory tournament, the next match, I took it as a match that would be right a prelude to this tournament, because Goshi Ozaki faces Hideki Suzuki in a singles match.
Yeah,
this, show, and I took this as both guys will probably be in the tournament.
Well, it was obvious Go would be, yeah. And I think people expected Hideki. You know, they've been setting this up for a while now, and that should be a freaking amazing ass match.
Yeah.
On top of it, so I can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah,
there if they do decide to save something for the tournament, too. On top of it,
yep, definitely a cool matchup, and in the semi-main of that show, we have the finals of the Global Junior League between Tadasuke and Hayata. Very interesting stuff, too. I really like that they are giving Tadasuke more of a push recently. He's a guy that I could actually see going up to the heavyweights, because he seems a little bit big for the juniors.
He is kind of big.
Yeah.
For the juniors. And he's the better of all the Rattels outside of Harada. I like him a little bit better than Yohei and Hayata. So I hope he wins, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. He would then be challenging Minoru Tanaka for the junior title, I guess, on the next biggest show. But before that, we have the main event of Kaito Kiyomiya defending the GHC heavyweight title against Katsuhiko Nakajima. I don't know about you, Dylan, but I don't foresee a title change coming here.
Nah, it's the wrong time for it. After things have gone how they've gone, I think there's no reason at all to take the title off of Kiyomiya heading into this tournament. And I also think that would set it up too easily for Kiyomiya to try and win the tournament. I hope they shy away from all that. Just like the way they're going now is really good. That's a great show you just listened off. Like, that's a really strong second half of a show for NOAH.
Yeah.
Let them have a good match. Kiyomiya should get the win, and Nakajima, that's something he can hold on to for the tournament as well.
Yeah, I was wondering about 3 singles matches in a row, but then I thought, okay, they will have Go and Hideki, then they will have another singles match with Tadasuke and Hayata, and after that they will of course have the celebration for the winner of the tournament, and then probably the champion comes out, so they will have a little intermission just by this celebration after that, and then they will go right to the main event. So the pacing for that should work out.
Yeah, like those 4 matches you said are going to be really strong. Like, to me, the finals of the tournament might even be the 4th one, and that's still like an important match.
Yeah,
you know, it should be good stuff, you know.
Then they also announced 2 matches for August 4th from Tokyo Kuroken Hall, Departure 2019, the 19th anniversary celebration for Pro Wrestling NOAH. They are doing an anniversary special singles match between Naomi Chinomaru Fuji and Kotaro Suzuki, and also a GHC Tag Team title match between Axis, Goshi Ozaki, and Katsuhiko Nakajima against the very Pro Wrestling NOAH team of Akitoshi Saito and Masao Inoue.
Yeah, the Dark Agents.
Yeah.
Like, so, very old school NOAH team there too. So that could be fun. I'm looking forward to the match with Kotaro and Mara Fuji. They seem like a hand-in-glove fit, even though Mara Fuji can't wrestle like as good as he used to for this style that mm-hmm. Kotaro leads.
Yeah.
Still should be fun, though.
Should be fun. Should be a good set of shows. I expect maybe the junior title to be defended on this show too.
Yeah.
Would make sense. And probably some other special anniversary matches. Heading into the N1 victory, I expect the field to be announced either on the final show of the Global League or on this departure show. Probably on the departure show.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see for that. But
I wish they would get Ota to come back for that too.
Who?
In addition to the Ota.
Oh, yeah.
To come back since he's wrestling on the Aoki show.
Yeah.
I bring him back for Archer too, at least. That would be cool.
That would be really cool. Yeah. Like have a match with Inamura, for example.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah. So maybe they'll hear us and they will be doing the match here impromptu.
And if anyone's listening that has connections to NOAH, pass it along to tell Dylan said so. Like they'll listen.
Exactly. So let us go to the main topic of our show today. We are going to talk about the Dragon Gate 20th anniversary special. And of course, Dragon Gate has only been around since 2004, but they are taking the history of Toryumon Japan into consideration as well. So they celebrate their 20th anniversary this past Sunday at Kobe World Hall, the traditional venue for the big shows that the promotion has held in their history. And the first show of the promotion was held on January 31st, 1999, from Kuroken Hall, still to a time when the venue held more than 2,000 fans, Dylan. Ah, those times. Oh, man. And if I'm looking at this show, there are a lot of faces that we also saw on this Kobe World Hall show. For example, in the opening match, Yasushi Kanda beat Genki Horiguchi. Kenichi Arai defeated Susumu Mochizuki, who of course is later known as Susumu Yokusuka. Yoshikatsu Taru defeated Stoka Ichikawa. Kendo, Super Kendo, and the Supernova defeated Bombero Infernal and Dr. Cerebro. Wow. That is something from left field. I didn't expect that. But in
Dr.
the main
Cerebro
event...
Lucha.
Oh man, of course he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is. And in the main event, it was a six-man elimination tag match, Dragon Kid, Magen Tokyo, and Saito, who is the later Super Shiza, defeated the Crazy Max of Judo Suwa, Shima Nobunaga, and Sumo Fuji. Of course, Shima, now with the Strong Hearts. Don Fuji, who knows what he's doing right now.
No clue.
No clue. So yeah, that was the first show. And Ultimo Dragon, he left in 2004. He left with the Toryumon name, and then the promotion became Dragon Gate. And we'll talk a little bit more about the history of this when we go to the Ultimo Dragon match, I would say. Let us just go to the opening match of this show. Because usually on the big shows for Dragon Gate, they make place for all the guys that don't have a storyline, that don't have a match. And this happened right away here with a 10-man tag match on this show as Super Shiza, Sachiko Machine, Mondai Ryu, Canis, and the Drastic Boy defeated the team of Keisuke Okuda, Kenichi Arai, Jason Lee, Dragon Dia, and Jimmy. Jimmy and Drastic Boy, of course, from Mexico, from the, what's it called?
DTU
promotion, that's it, exactly. Man, this opening match was a fun semblance of guys that really are not of any importance anymore, but it's always great to see Super Shiza. He was always one of my Loki favorites in Dragon Gate because of his great Yabe style.
Yeah, great technical wrestler. Yeah.
And the great thing about Kenichi Arai is that he is still with the Dragon Gate contract. But the first Dragon Gate, let me see the... I recently posted it on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. He was basically only wrestling in independent groups for the last couple of years. And the last Dragon Gate match he had was on July 7, 2016. And then his next Dragon Gate match was on June 6, 2019. So 3 years in between, where he still was under contract for Dragon Gate and always billed as a Dragon Gate wrestler, but never actually had a Dragon Gate match.
Wow. And he finally had the contract now.
Yeah. He's basically known as the King of the Indies in Japanese wrestling because he has held a bunch of titles. In this era, in the 3 years he hasn't been with Dragon Gate, he was the Guts World Champion, he was the King of Freedom's Tag Team Champion, Heat Up Universal Tag Team Champion, the Asuka Pro Champion, the UWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion for Freedoms as well. He had a bunch of titles in the independent scene, back here for Dragon Gate for the 20th anniversary as well, because he was on the first card, I guess. Yeah, well, this match went 5 minutes. The 10 guys got some of their spots in, but basically nothing big here.
This is like, here's all the guys that aren't on the show. Like, yeah. Here's 5 minutes, pretty much.
Exactly.
I liked Okuda. It was nice to see Jason Lee. Jimmy did a side moonsault at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice little match. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Last time on our preview, we talked about BB Hulk coming back. And you mentioned it was a neck injury, and I wasn't so sure, but it definitely was a neck injury. As it was also pointed out by the English commentary team of Rich Bucchini and Larry Dallas on this show, and I watched some of the stuff on this show with the English commentary, starting with this match, actually. It was the three-way six-man tag match between the Mochizuki Dojo of Hiro Watanabe, Kota Minoura, and Yuki Yoshioka, who defeated BB Hulk, Kagetora, and Yosuke Sadamaria. And the team of Genki Horiguchi, Punch Tominaga, and Brother Yashi of the Natural Vibes. It was good to see BB Hulk coming back. He had a brief return in these three-minute exhibition matches on the Hokkaido part of the King of Gate tour because he is from the region. And yep. Now he was officially back. And, of course, you had to wonder how or in what shape he came back, especially because of his neck. And then he right away did a dive over the top rope,
mm-hmm.
portraying, hey, I'm all good here.
Yeah, he did do that, but I still thought he was a step slower than Hulk we know. Like, yeah. He's never going to be that guy again, to be honest with you. He's been dealing with injuries for like 5 years at this point. So, yeah, that was cool, though. Like, I thought that was a cool little spot, like, from him. Really, I thought Yoshioka really helped along this match for me, but still, this is one of the weaker matches on the card, in my opinion. It was just more like, let's see, here's BB Hulk, he's back, and also let's put these young guys over.
Yeah, exactly. Was about to put the young guys over. You said that Yoshioka really helped the match, and in the end, Hiro Watanabe got a pitfall victory over Kagetora that I thought was notable. He did a diving senton to get this pinfall. But yeah, at least they kept it short for nine guys, having 8 minutes. That's a fine match time for this undercard tag match.
Especially when you got some of the people in the match. Like, the lots of comedy with Santa Maria and Yashi. Yashi sucks. Like, besides that, like I said, BB kept himself in his lane, pretty much, and did a good job of what he had to. And I like the young guys. Pretty much all three of them, I thought, did a solid job in the match.
I wonder what you thought about the next match. 20th anniversary special match extra edition handicap match. Hong Man Choi defeated Ryo Saito and Hollywood Stalker Ichikawa.
The only thing I care about Hong Man Choi is that he once beat up Jose Canseco in one of his fights, who's a very famous baseball player in America and known, like, ass clown, pretty much. But yeah, so here, this was like a very quick comedy match with Saito and Hollywood Stalker Ishikawa. Ishikawa was very funny, I thought, here.
Yep.
I also very much liked Saito trying to use the cycling Wahoo, but he couldn't do it because he's too big. Homage too big.
Saito also tried to German suplex both guys, actually, or helping Stalker Ichikawa to German suplex Hongman Choi. And shout out to Larry Dallas, who noted that Stalker Ichikawa's finishing move is the Ina Bauer German suplex hold.
Maybe he's listening to you.
But Ryo Saito was unable to suplex both guys. He just suplexed Stalker Ichikawa. So Stalker was in for the comedy. Ryo Saito was in to hold this a little bit together because Hongman Choi, to be quite honest, had no idea what to do here in this match.
He was like giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no, he has no future in being in kind of serious wrestling.
You don't think he will win the King of Gate next year?
I hope not. He may get like hurt himself. Like this guy can barely move. It seemed like.
Yeah. It wasn't good for him to be in this. Well, it was the best match to put him in, to be honest, on this show.
Yeah. You know, like, it was harmless.
Yeah, like, it was just some harmless fun, and. The match ended when Hongman Choi got Stalker Ichikawa up for, I think, what was supposed to be a hanging choke bomb or something. But in the middle of that, Stalker just gave up. Yeah.
That's true. The cycling Yahoo was my favorite spot of the match. But yeah. Still, like I said, it was harmless fun with Stalker Ichikawa. You know, it's all good.
Yeah. But then the show really got going. And I gotta say, apart from the six-man tag match involving Ultimo Dragon that had a lot of emotion with it, I thought this was my second favorite match of the show. When KZ defeated Shun Skywalker in 12 minutes, I thought that this was a legitimate great match with two guys that also didn't really have a story going into this show, because Shun and KZ, they got their chances for the Open, the Dreamgate title in March and February. But now it was all about Benkei. And for them, I guess it was about to show that they belong on this card. And I thought they went out full throttle, had a great Dragon Gate style match. I really enjoyed this stuff. I don't know. What did you think about this?
Yeah, I like this. This was either my second or third favorite match of the night. I thought these guys did good, and I have to say that KZ is somebody for me personally that I usually differ from the Dragon Gate faithful on. I'm not as into his matches as a lot of people are. Like pretty much every time he gets a high praised match, I'm always like a little bit lower. I don't think he's bad or anything, but he doesn't connect with me the way some of the other guys on the roster do, like we'll talk about later. Here, though, I thought I really enjoyed this. This was one of my favorite matches of his whole career, to me. I thought Shun Skywalker was awesome in this match. And KZ did a very admirable job here. I thought these guys did some crazy moves. You would expect that with Dragon Gate, but I thought these guys really stood out even on this show. And everything was really smooth, I thought. They had great chemistry. And for a random match like this, more or less, it wasn't even on the show when we previewed it.
Yeah.
I thought they really, like you said, this felt like these guys were out to prove they belonged on the show, even though they were kind of like the last-second add-ons. There was no story. It was just them trying to prove themselves, and I think they totally did it here. Very strong 12-minute match between these two.
You know, I'm always very impressed by Shun Skywalker's ability to do this moonsault. Like, he always drags the guy into the middle of the ring, and you always think, can this guy jump this far? And yes, he always can. And he seems like a very lengthy guy for a Dragon Gate wrestler. He's 5'11". And he can jump this high. And also, about Shun, ever since they changed his costume, he looks like a guy that could be a legitimate star in this promotion. I really think that he's a future Open the Dream Gate champion. He brings along this charisma that you rarely see for a guy that is under a mask in Dragon Gate, and I think really he has a great future.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the better prospects on this roster for sure, and somebody that could do great matches. If they ever send him out to other companies, I think he really shined there too, like we saw last year at All Japan. So I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. So after this match, we got to see the Open the Triangle Gate title match. Aside from the opening matches, Dylan, this probably was my least favorite one.
Yeah.
Strong Machine J, Strong Machine F, and Strong Machine G, accompanied by Shogun KY Wakamatsu, defeated Yasushi Kanda, Takashi Yoshida, and Kazuma Sakamoto, the champions, the reigning champions at this point, from the Real Extreme Diffusion unit in 9 minutes, when Strong Machine J hit the Devil Windmill suplex hold on Kanda. I don't know, there wasn't just nothing on this in this match that I thought was anything special.
RED sucks. Like, this team
this
here.
This trio,
like,
really sucks.
Yeah, like, and I'm not as huge on these Strong Machines either. To be honest with you, they didn't exactly win me over in this match. So Strong Machine J, I did like the Devil Windmill. He did a dive to the floor at one point. That was pretty cool. Mm. But that's about it for positives of this match. Not a good match, I would say.
The entrance of the Strong Machines heavily reminded me of Kenta debuting in New Japan Pro Wrestling when Shibata was standing there and just waiting for him. And just waiting for him. And just waiting for the guy. And he didn't come out. And then he finally came out. And here Strong Machine J stood on the ramp and waited for Wakamatsu to finally show up, and he didn't show up. I guess he's an old man. He had to take his time. And but to be honest, this guy doesn't add anything to the act.
No. No, he totally didn't. I don't know. The Strong Machines are getting a push, though. It feels like they've got huge plans for at least Jay.
Yeah, the story is that it took him the shortest time of everybody in Dragon Gate from his debut to his first championship. So, yeah. They are pushing this idea of the Strong Machines very hard. But as Case Lowe also says in his review on Voice of Wrestling, maybe the Strong Machines are not as over in Dragon Gate as they would like to see them. And I took it, I took the same from this.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you know, I'd like to see him against another team, but they didn't really impress me at all either. Mm. Did you know KY Wakamatsu actually wrestled a match this year?
He did?
Yeah, he was on the Pro Wrestling Master Show.
Oh, of course. Where else would he be? maybe on Tokyo Championship Wrestling, where Kim Duck also wrestles. Or on Tradition.
Well, yeah. Muto had his ace in the hole for that show. He called up old KY and told him, "We need you on this show. We need you to face Heisei Ishii."
Of course. And
so please come back. Yeah. Yeah, he's very old. If you've never seen him.
Yeah, and he also is an act from a total different era.
Yeah.
Well, the comedy on this show, you had Ryo Saito and Soka Ichikawa doing their comedy, and that's the comedy shtick that the Dragon Gate fans are used to. And then we got this KY Wakamatsu guy coming out, you're doing a completely, I don't know how to describe it, a weird, very weird comedy act from a different era.
Yeah, the other was much more successful with Soka Ichikawa, to say the least.
Yeah, so not good.
Yeah.
Don't watch the match. You can save 10 minutes of your time. Or 15 with the entrances.
Yeah.
Well, so the KZ versus Shun Skywalker match we have rated at 7.41 right now. We also have a rating for Flamita versus Susumu Yokosuka for the Open the Brave Gate Championship. We have it at 6.17 right now. Going into the match, they had a storyline that Flamita was injured by Susumu Yokosuka because the two guys basically fucked up a leapfrog spot in their match in Osaka the week before. And Yokosuka basically ran into Flamita's ankle. Flamita was limping on the way to the ring, and they also did a callback to this spot, which was one of the things that I liked about this match. Then they started doing a match where they first had Flamita sell the leg all the time because Susumu attacked him. But later on, he totally brushed everything off and they just wrestled a normal match. And yeah, that's when the match fell apart for me.
Yeah. Not that dissimilar from the Ibushi match, I felt like, with Ospreay, where they were working two different styles of matches at once.
Yeah.
The highs of that match were bigger than this one.
Exactly.
They did more impressive physical stuff. But from like a perspective, I don't think this was any worse than that, to be honest. Just from a storyline perspective. I warned you about this last time, that Flamita wasn't as good as Bandido in Dragon Gate in general here. I think he's taken a step back the older he's gotten. New look, bigger than ever on the show, too. Yokosuka, I have a level of him because I really respect him. I think no matter what my feelings on Dragon Gate have been throughout the years, I've always thought Susumu was a really strong worker. And this wasn't up to that standard. It wasn't a bad match, but like you said, there were definitely flaws, especially with Flamita selling, I thought. And like Susumu's not the spectacular wrestler that Ospreay or Ishii is, so you're not going to see some crazy stuff like that. He's more like a traditional good wrestler.
Yes,
so.
Traditional good wrestler, and also shouted out by Larry Dallas as being one of the underrated guys on the roster.
He is. He totally is.
Yep. Yeah, so
yeah.
In the end, Yokosuka defended his championship with a couple of big moves, and that is also something, and we'll also talk about that in the main event. His usual finishing move is the Jumbo no Kachi Lariat. Sometimes he does the Jumbo no Kachi Gatame, where he does a lariat and right away pins the guy. But he also has some different moves, like the Mugen he did here. And in the end, for me, for a mid-card match we had here, there were too many near falls in the end.
Yeah. Another thing I like, too, on this show, I will say this. These last two, I mean, never mind the Trios title match, or the Triangle Gate title match. I like that the KZ and Shun Skywalker match and this were both around 12 or 13 minutes.
Yep.
I think that's what helped it for me, but this wasn't anything special either. Like the other match was better. You know, I thought they did okay for a mid-card title match, but for someone like Yokosuka, to me, who's like one of the best wrestlers on the roster, to me, you really want a lot more out of this Open the Brave Gate title match. And I don't think it got up to that level.
No, not really. You know, first of all, we had for the next one a video package. We had a video package for the 20th anniversary premium match with Ultimo Dragon. I thought this video package was really outstanding because they basically summed up everything from the start of January, where they started these premium matches. And the first premium match they ever had was Mochizuki against Shuji Kondo. And Shuji Kondo being back in January felt like a very big deal because he hadn't been back in Dragon Gate in a long, long time. And so they had this video package where they summed everything up when the entire roster got into the ring together and they started basically begging Ultimo Dragon to return home to a promotion that wasn't his, but that he laid the foundations for. As I mentioned, all these guys that were on the first Toriumon show. And it all culminated with Ultimo Dragon coming back for the King of Gate finals. Well, and for the Korakuen Hall show before the King of Gate finals, he came back. And you know, it just made me real emotional. And when I looked at this match, I suddenly noticed that the last time that Ultimo Dragon was in a Dragon Gate ring, we had these exact guys in crucial matches as well. It was on July 4, 2004, when they had a tournament for the vacant Ultimo Dragon Gym title. And in the semi-final of that tournament, Shuji Kondo defeated Dragon Kid. And later in the evening, Shima won the title. And Ultimo Dragon on this show defeated a very young Katsuhiko Nakajima. And also Masaaki Mochizuki was on that show. And of course, Takuya Sugawara as well. So they made sure to present a match that had a great history with the promotion. And when we did our preview of the show, we were very skeptical about everything surrounding this match. But I thought the crowd did a very good job for this.
Yeah, that's what I told you on the last episode. I thought that the crowd, even if they didn't know Ultimo, would be so into everything going on with the Kobe world that they would still, like, I had hopes, at least, that they would elevate this match. And with the great video package they had, I think that totally topped it off, too. And it led to them doing exactly what I was hopeful for on the show. And that's, they elevated this match greatly, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, the one thing that turned me off a little bit was on the version that we saw on the Dragon Gate network, we didn't get to hear Ultimate Dragon's theme. And that is always a no-go for me. So yeah, I'm hoping that we will find the Gaora version of this and we'll be able to watch the full entrance again.
Yeah.
For him. And as the match started out, we had Genki Horiguchi on commentary and he started crying right away. So, yeah, I thought they did some cool spots here. The main question of this match, of course, was, would Ultimo Dragon do an Asai moonsault? And he went for it, and Takuya Sugawara broke it up. And that is always a great heel spot when you have an older wrestler who maybe once did these high spots, but who isn't able to do them anymore. And you can have the heel cut him off. That got a great reaction for Sugawara, and it looked like he really enjoyed the spot too.
Yeah, this was perfect. I mentioned that last week again. I thought that's something that should be, like, if he could pull that off, that would be all that this match would need to be awesome. But they did it in a way, I thought maybe they would do something where maybe the others could help him do something, like, you know, do a modified version of a big move. But here they did something just as good in a different way with Sugawara doing the heel spot on Ultimo. I thought it totally worked. The crowd got super into it. And yeah, I thought it was a great spot to add into this match.
Yeah, and in the end, Ultimo Dragon got the pinfall victory, of course, with the Lamaistral Cradle on Masaki Mochizuki. And I thought that was notable that Mochizuki took the pinfall, but to be honest, he was the guy from his team that was with the home promotion. Chuji Kondo and Takuya Sugawara coming in from 0-1 and Wrestle1, I didn't expect them to take the pinfall. Honestly, I would have thought Dragon Kid would take the fall in this match. But he didn't. Mochizuki doesn't take a lot of falls, but in recent months, he has taken some. For example, lost to Jason Lee too in the King of Gate tournament. Took some falls here and there. So for him, it was fine to take the pinfall in this match against Ultimo Dragon. A huge gesture, by the way, that is also noted by Case Lowe in his review. The match itself, it was just based around all the emotions that were set free by this video package, by Ultimo Dragon returning. And after the match, I got very emotional because Ultimo Dragon, he started crying as well. It was just an amazing get-together, amazing family homecoming, family return for Ultimo Dragon. And as we noted on our previous show, he also will be back in August for more shots for Dragon Gate.
Yeah, I thought the whole package, the spectacle of this was phenomenal. Something that, you know, you very rarely see in wrestling, you know, like something like this, that reaches this level. This was played off perfectly. And like I said, I feel like even if you didn't really know him, the way they set this up, it totally worked and got you into it. And let alone if you did know him and all this story, how much it meant.
Yeah, just the aura of it made the crowd buy into it. And I believe they felt, these 5,000 fans in attendance felt, that they were witnessing an all-time great wrestling moment. Because Ultimo Dragon coming back to Dragon Gate, it can't be overstated how big that is. On our preview, we said Ultimo Dragon, he basically had been neglecting this promotion ever since. He never even talked about Dragon Gate. Dragon Gate was not on his radar. Even though that he had this history with all the guys in the promotion, Dragon Gate was nothing that apparently meant anything to him because he never talked about it. He didn't accept it. But here he was back, 20 years later, or 15 years later. Just an amazing moment.
Yeah, like it really had so much drama and emotional stakes to it. I thought it was an amazing moment, like I said. And that's one thing you can say about this whole show is it really felt like a huge, like big time major league show in general. And this was something that, you know, I don't think anything in terms of emotion, like as much as I loved this moment, I don't think anything on even Wrestle Kingdom like touched this in terms of drama and emotional influence on me anyway.
Yeah, yeah, this was really something totally special. Like for Wrestle Kingdom, you can create great storylines that culminate. You can create a storyline within a year that culminates at the big stage. But you can't create anything like this that is based in real emotions.
Exactly. Like, this was real. Like, this wasn't some, you know, storyline or anything. And I have to say, I liked his interactions with Mochizuki in this match.
Yep.
Like, I thought they had some pretty stuff here, you know. Like, for all things considered, yeah, he's old. But, you know, against Mochizuki, they may have some kind of formula with this team. They've got with Ultima, because I thought they got the absolute best of him. I thought he looked more than good in this match against Mochizuki, and that's a tribute to him, obviously. I think they have momentum with this. I don't know how long it's going to last with Ultimo, but I think he's someone that they should be happy to have around for the next few months or however long he's around for. I think he's a great addition to the roster, and hopefully, you know, nothing will ever top this, no matter what happens. But I feel like, you know, he could be a very good addition to the roster, an addition to big shows going forward on Dragon Gate.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool stuff. After the match as well, when Masato Yoshino basically took the mic and said, "Hey, this was so great. Hope you enjoyed it. But please stay around because we still have two matches coming up." And the two matches that were coming up were for the main titles. First, for the Open the Twin Gate Championship. Big Ashimizu and Eita defeated Kaito Ishida and Naoki Doi, as well as Yamato and Kai. Dylan, which of the two main event matches did you like more?
Definitely the tag match.
Yeah,
I don't even think it was close.
What do you think about the tag match?
To me, there was one match on this show that was a legitimately great match, and it was this one.
Yeah.
I thought this was a phenomenal performance from really everybody in the match. We got the call right on RED winning with Big R and Eita. And these guys, and I did like two. Now, this went long, but it didn't go anything crazy either. Like, it didn't go over it went about just short of 28 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked what they did here with Eita. Even though I really liked what they did there because, yes, they did get eliminated first, but it took them 20 minutes to get there.
Yeah, like in my opinion, it totally sets up what we called for in the preview, that in the end, it will be Kaito Ishida and Naoko Doi who will be becoming the tag team champions, but not right now. They were eliminated first, but they will definitely be back, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I said, and I thought the last 7 minutes between the two teams were really strong, too. And like I said, I really loved Eita and Big R in this match. I thought they were the standout team. I like the others, too. Like, I really, like I said, everybody did good. But this was an incredible performance, I thought, in terms of a Dragon Gate style of match here. And I think that this was the epitome of that. This totally did honor to every Toriumon multi-man match that we spent, things like that. Just a great match, I thought. Definitely the match of the night for me.
And it had implications of a great Toriumon or Dragon Gate multi-man match, but it also had parts of a very traditional tag team match, because early on in the first fall, Shimizu and Eita got rid of Yamato and Kai and laid them out outside the ring, and they were missing. Because usually you would have a three-way setting inside the ring, and you can't really isolate someone with this three-way setting. But they got rid of one part of this triangle match, and then they isolated Kaito Ishida really well, I took away from this. Eita and Shimizu were really great in this one, and I especially liked how they portrayed Shimizu as this unconquerable big guy for the company. In other companies, he wouldn't be the big guy. He would be a, well, fairly acceptable-sized dude. But here he is, a big guy against these smaller guys. And I also noted that they, for the most part, they tried to keep Kai and Shimizu apart to really portray that Shimizu is the big guy in this match.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
That was very well done here. And, the first fall, the finish of the first fall, I thought, was very well done, because Doi and Ishida were on their comeback, And then Ishida made a crucial mistake and just ran right away into the shot put slam that put him away after 20 minutes. And that is something that they will definitely play up when they face the next time, and maybe for the eventual title change there too.
I thought that was so well done because the way the match is set up, you mentioned them isolating Ishida and taking out, you know, Tri Vanguard. To me, it totally set up for Ishida to make a huge comeback. You know, it set up for Dory and him to win the titles. But instead, like you said, they switched that around, and it felt like right when he was at the peak of getting a fall on Yamato, he ran right into the shot put slam for the win to help put over the RED team there.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned it, for the final 7 minutes, Eita Shimizu and Yamato and Kai just went total crazy and just finished this match on a high note with the Salamander from Eita on Yamato after a big chair shot to the head.
And this was they totally had a dominant win here too, because right before that Kai had taken the shot put slam to take him out, and then, like you said, they went with Yamato and Eita turned on him with the chair, and then hit the Salamander, which is like a twisting victory roll bomb from the top on Yamato for the win.
So, except for his look, because Shimizu really is a great guy, right?
I've always been a fan of his. I still don't like the look. Like I said, don't get me wrong there. He's still needs to change all of that. But for wrestling, the guys are one of the best in the company for me, and I think they proved it again here. And I loved how strongly they put over these two here too. I really like this match a lot. I thought everything that could have went right, this was like the best possible version of a match with these six men, in my opinion.
Yeah, and looking at our cage match rating, we have it at 8.82, best rated match of the card. And as I said, the KZ vs. Shun Skywalker match was my second favorite match of the show. This one definitely was my favorite match of the show. But we still had the main event going for the Open the Dreamgate title. I want to say that I didn't like the match as much, but I was a big, big fan of the storyline. Yep. Going into this match, Benkei had been removed from RED at Dead or Alive in May, then went on to win the King of Gate tournament against Eita in the finals, against another RED guy. There has been roadblocks for him to come to this main event, to face Pac for the Open the Dreamgate title match, but he cleared the way for him. He got rid of all the roadblocks that were in the way for him and came to this main event. And when he came out wearing this great white gear, I immediately thought, this guy is definitely winning. I went into this show thinking that Benkei would be becoming the champion, but here, when I saw him on the stage, it was clear to me, this guy is winning tonight. He looked amazing.
Yeah, like Benkei, star in the making, for sure, I feel like, here.
I think he's a made man now.
Yeah, like I said, yeah. It was set up perfect, like, for him to, like, be, like, the torch is passed on, like, and it worked exactly how it should have here.
Yeah, and they, again, for the match story, they went back to the storyline they told about Benkei. About them, RED, trying everything to put obstacles in his way, because very early on they attacked him and they laid him out on the outside, and Pac did a huge shooting star to the outside, which culminated in a 19 count by the ref, and the match followed really this pattern after that, of Benkei having to fight back against Pac. And I really like this approach.
Yeah, Pac really took a lot of the match, I would say, here. Even from the beginning with the national anthem stuff there. That was a great callback, too, just something he did before. So I really liked what Pac was doing there. Like, strong character work from Pac.
If I'm quickly explaining that, in the match against Masato Yoshino, he attacked Yoshino during his national anthem, not during the Japanese national anthem, but during his one. And here he teased an attack on Benkei, but Benkei had it scouted and Pac didn't do it in the end. Great stuff.
Yeah, that was a great move. Yeah, I really like that there. I thought this match, I have to say, though, like everything about this in terms of what it did for Benkei, like you said, completely agree with you. He's a made man. I always thought he was the guy. Ever since he was a young lion, I had him pegged as the future of the company, one of the best people in it. And Pac's reign, it worked perfectly. He never did any jobs outside of Dragon Gate. Mm-hmm. He finally put over a guy, and it like totally helped it. You know, it totally elevated Benkei. Great title reign for that. And not to mention, I just want to shout out Pac here for doing this, because when he came back, it was at a time of craziness for Dragon Gate, with Shingo leaving and all the stuff with Shima earlier in the year. They really needed this, you know, this title reign.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a match, I didn't think this was that great, to be honest with you.
No.
And I think Pac is that great of a wrestler, like, in all honesty. Like, I don't know if that's controversial, but I'm not into any of his matches like that he's had as a Dream Gate champion. I'm very happy that Benkei won the title.
Weren't you into the KZ match? Didn't you like that?
I thought that was overrated. Like, it was a fine match. I didn't like that as much as other people. And I said that earlier about KZ. Like, a lot of his matches that I don't get into as much as others, and that was one of them. I thought it was a good match, but it didn't strike me as a next level match, and this didn't strike me as a next level match either.
What do you think of? Did you see the Dragon Kid match from Dead or Alive?
That was a better, like, that was probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't a match of the year or anything like that to me. It was a good match, like a really good match. That was a really good match. I will give him that much. Yeah. But still, in general, though, Pac is not one of my favorite workers right now. Ever since he's left.
Yeah, his entire, and I, as I said on the preview, I like his approach to wrestling, that he is not the guy that he was in WWE or even the time before. Something broke about him, and it is more about the character, as you said. They really needed this character guy for this run right now, because they didn't have the guy on top for a different run. They had so many runs with Mochizuki, with Yoshino, with the Doi and other guys holding the belt. Yamato had it 4 times. Shingo Takagi had it 4 times before he left. So they needed this, and they needed this transitional reign for Benkei to be established. And as I said, it was not my favorite match on the show, and there were reasons for it. And major reason for it is that after this great start, after this great storyline start, and after Benkei having to fight back against Pac, it turned out to be a regular Dragon Gate Big Show main event match with too many near falls in the end. Just very similar to the Yokusuka vs. Flamita one, by the way. Because they did the spear, as I said. This is Benkei's finishing move for like tag matches he does. He did the spear, and then right away he did the Benkei bomb. And it didn't make any sense why the Benkei bomb just was a 2 count, because he just did another Benkei bomb after that. Why isn't the Benkei bomb more protected?
I don't know. I guess it was just to put over. You know, it's like Pac, he's this unbeatable champion. You have to chop him down. It just gave that little bit more. I was more concerned with all of the run-ins from RED here in this match.
That's also what always happens in a big Dragon Gate main event match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was more worried about that. You know, I like Benkei in this match a lot. I thought he did a fine job. You know, I thought Pac took a little too much of this match, to be honest with you. And it's something you'll see raised as a negative point against someone like Kaito Kiyomiya as GC champion. That he takes all this offense and wins, you know, ends up winning. Here, I thought this was, you could easily make that argument in this match, which is even a bigger match, somewhat similar to the Segura match that he had when he won the title originally, although the crowd was much hotter here, obviously. Like, to me, I thought it was too slow going, and for a 27, you know, almost 27-minute match, I thought that style didn't really lend itself to that with all of those things. What you said was a fair point, too, the Benkei bomb. I really loved his spear through the ropes that he did. I thought that was a great spot. There was some good stuff in this match. It wasn't a bad match, but to me, definitely below the tag match and KZ and Shoot Skywalker. And I even liked the Ultimo match better, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely was something totally different. Yeah, so that concluded the show. Ben K's coronation as the Open the Dreamgate champion. As I mentioned, for a half-year storyline, I thought it really was a home run. As a match itself, not so much.
Yeah, everything around it worked perfectly, though, you know. So the match quality was definitely secondary to the overall, you know, thing of this, pretty much, of him finally beating Pac and bringing the title back. And he, like you said, he really felt like the guy of the company. This was not something where, you know, there's any question going forward. Ben K is the ace of Dragon Gate right now.
Yeah. So I saw some people calling this a show of the year contender. And from a Dragon Gate fan perspective, I can totally get behind that assessment of this show. I thought it was a very good show. Like, it had its total highs with the Ultimate Dragon emotional moment here. It also had this great Open the Twin Gate title match. It had the great culmination of the storyline between Ben K and R.E.D. It had KZ and Shun Skywalker. But on the other hand, it also had some matches that I didn't really like. Mostly the Open the Triangle Gate title. Didn't like the Open the Brave Gate title. Didn't really like the last few minutes in the main event. But overall, I would really say that this one was a strong, strong show. What about you?
I thought, from a wrestling perspective, the Twin Gate title, like, and I already thought that would be one of the better matches on the show, but that, to me, totally blew out my expectations. I thought that was a great, great match. And that was really it for, in terms of, like, something that really reached that next level for me. And there was a lot of good stuff on the show. You know, I liked the Ultimo Dragon match. That moment was what it's worth. And I think the big thing about this show is it felt like a biggest show of the year.
Yes.
You know, and I think they totally succeeded from that perspective, from, you know, all the side stuff pretty much of the match, I think, of the show, they did a great job of that. Not everything was a hit, but I would definitely say this is a really strong show. Show of the year? I don't know. I can see why it's up there to a lot of people. And I think if that main event had really, like, blown me away, like the tag match did, it'd be up there. But I don't know if I'd put it at number one right now. I consider it, though. I don't hate it. I thought it was an over-delivered on what I would expect from a Dragon Gate show a year ago, for sure. So I'm going to give it props. I thought it was a really good show. And that, like I said, that tag match was the great match. And the moment of Ultimo was something unforgettable. One of the best moments in wrestling anywhere this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ultimo Dragon will be back with a promotion on August 7th in Kirken Hall, and he will also be on the Dangerous Gate show on August 24. We don't have any cards yet for the next tour for Dragon Gate. The next show, as I said, they will have some smaller shows. Next notable show is the show on August 7 from Kirken Hall. But before we go, Dylan, as we said before here, for the first time we had English commentary for this show by Rich Puccini and by Larry Dallas. I don't know if you watched it with English commentary. I did. If you did, what did you think about it?
I watched the Japanese version.
Okay.
Nothing against them, but you know, Japanese is my jam usually. But what did you think?
Yeah, I specifically wanted to watch this with the English commentary because I was curious how they would do, because at first it felt to me very random that Rich Puccini and Larry Dallas would do the commentary team. But I, of course, knew about Larry Dallas' history with Dragon Gate USA, but I had no idea that he was still so into the product, because he really knew a lot of characters and he knew a lot of their motivations throughout the show. And during the video packages they showed, they also translated some of the stuff that happened, or they explained some of the storylines. That was very helpful for maybe the first-time watcher of the product. And for some moments in the early matches, they had some slip-ups. They called some names wrong and stuff like that. But nothing overly dramatic, I would say. found it was a good debut for a commentary team, and Larry Dallas noted that he wanted a very experienced play-by-play guy in Rich Bucchini. And to me, they did a great job. And I think they had someone there to translate, because some of the promo stuff, for example, the Yoshino stuff I mentioned, they translated right away. I don't know if Larry Dallas speaks Japanese. I would say they had some translator guy there. And that is really something that you need when you announce a Dragon Gate show or a Japanese wrestling show. You need someone to translate the crucial parts of the promos. That is what they did there. And so I thought it was a good first impression for those two.
Cool. Like I said, if they're back for another big Dragon Gate show, I'll give them a shot next time.
Yeah. So the next, as I said, the next big show will be Dangerous Gate. I think that's from Ottawa. We also will have the Gate of Destiny show later in the year. So we'll see. Maybe we'll return for another Dragon Gate review this year. I certainly enjoyed this one.
I did too. Like I said, I'll definitely be back either here on the Patreon for Dragon Gate. I'll watch it. One way or the other, you'll get a review of some sort. But yeah, I really enjoyed this show. And glad to be back with Dragon Gate. It felt right to come back at this time.
It did. It did. Yes, so for the next set of G1 Climax shows, you will have to cope with Dylan, because I will be in England over the weekend for the Fight Club Pro Sendai Gods weekend. But don't fear, you will definitely get your fix for the G1 Climax reviews, as Dylan will provide them. But for now, I guess, that has been it. Anything else you want to add? Comments?
Yeah, like I said, I'll do a show this weekend on the free feed, but I'll also be doing a lot of stuff on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. If you want the flash update, so to speak, like right after the show, the instant reactions, you got to go there. But I'll definitely put something up this weekend while you're away for all the G1 super fans out there that would like to know what's going on. So check that out as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I always got to say, too, like I said, it's for all the tiers of the Patreon, the $1, the $3, the $5 tiers. So even if you're on the fence, try give it a try. Like, hit that $1 tier. Like, give it a shot for us. And I think you'll like what you hear and want to check it out.
Yeah. All right. So that has been it for the Eastern Lariat for this time. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.